What's going on, my friend?
Well, what's going on, everybody? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. It's a fun day in the crypto world. I thought it was some people are freaking out. I've been getting a lot of DMs. Not to be mean or anything like that, but I kind of made a funny title. I was like, whatever.
Oh, it is a funny title. It got my attention. And I woke up at 3 in the morning for no reason, and then I just started doing work, and then I took a nap and I wake up to this 6% down or something. I'm like, wow, what's going on here? We're running out of Bitcoin yesterday.
Yeah, and we still are. It's that, you know, that's actually a good part of the discussion that I wanted to bring up today. I mean, we still are, you know, going through that. There's nothing's really changed. It's really funny how some people are freaking out about things. Like, we basically hit the previous all-time highs. What did people expect? You know, there was going to be a huge dump. Regardless if it was going to be, you know, massive, ongoing, whatever, there was going to be a huge selling point at that recent or the past resistance. So it's just kind of funny that people are like trying to give this rhyme or reason. I'm like, bro, come on. Oh, we got Patrick over here. What's up, Patrick? Let me get you up here. What's up, Patrick? How's your day going?
I did, man.
It was me.
Yes, Christ, dude. Like,
I was just giving people a better chance. That's all.
Yeah, you're just lowering the ask. You're just clearing out the spreads, and then you're good to go, dude.
Yeah, man. It's nothing. No big deal. No big deal.
Good to do. You'll have a yacht soon, so that'll be nice. And
I don't know about a yacht. Maybe one of those. What are those big boats with the big pontoon boats? Maybe I have a pontoon
boat. A pontoon. You get up into the Ozarks, I guess. Is that what you guys have down in the States?
Yeah, well, we have a bunch of stuff over here. I actually like bass boats and pontoon boats, because pontoon boats are just, they're the party boat, and you can take all your kids and family out on a pontoon boat and do a lot of fishing. I like fishing.
Like fishing? Yeah. Well, we have you got to get up here to the Great Lakes, the Upper Canadian Shield.
We have more water
than we know what to do with.
Yeah, I've been up there a few times, and I will say that place is beautiful. I've been up to the up. As they say it in the upper Michigan. I don't know what's going on, Patrick. I keep losing you, it looks like. Sorry. Let me see if I can do that again. But I've been to the up. I've been to Canada multiple different times with my family and for a previous job. Love that place. I absolutely love that place, man.
Have you ever been sturgeon fishing?
No, I've wanted to go, though.
Those things out in BC, we have sturgeons. And these things are like dinosaurs. It's crazy. They live for like hundreds of years. It's nuts.
Yeah, I've actually researched it before, and I don't know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of scared to go. Those fucking things are dinosaurs. They're scary looking, man.
They're just legitimate dinosaurs. That's what they are. Just straight up dinos.
What's going on, Bruce? What's up, Bans? Porbo, what's going on, man? I missed your guys', by the way, Porbo. I missed your guys' meeting. I was busy choking people out on the mat, but wish I could have been there. Patrick, are you seeing that on your end too? Is it just me? Because I keep seeing a request coming from you, but you're like, you're here talking, so I don't know what's going on.
No, I'm not doing anything. Maybe I'm on my desktop, but I know that desktop's just weird for this. So I might drop down. I'll come back.
Oh, no, all good. All good. Bruce, how you doing, man?
I'm just chumming on some candy.
I love it. What kind of candy are you eating?
Lion bars.
Wait, so is this comfort food? Is this comfort food because of the dump, or are we just normally?
No, I was just looking to do some shopping, and there was a great, fucking offer. So I got myself some Lion bars.
Nice, dude. Have I ever had that? I don't even think I know what the fuck that is. What is that? Is it like a Snickers?
Yeah, it's like a Snickers. It's from Nestle. So it's like basically the same as it's the Snickers and the Twix combined.
That sounds wonderful. What? A Snickers and a Twix? A land bar? I gotta look this up now. What?
Kinda without the peanut.
Oh, I don't
caramel and the crunch.
That's interesting. I'm definitely gonna have to look that up. My favorite candy bar has always been, and it's the worst because my wife hates it. But it's a Butterfingers, because Butterfingers give you cavities, and I don't know why she actually hates it. Now that I'm thinking about it, because it definitely keeps people coming to our office. She should like it.
Wait a minute, hold on. She's acting like Willy Wonka's dad. Well, he wouldn't let her have no candies and stuff.
Bro,
not cool, man.
Have you seen the new Willy Wonka?
Oh my gosh, the one with Timothy Chalamet, whatever the hell.
So
that
good.
Shit was the bomb.
So
holy
good.
Cow! I watched it again the next day. On repeat, that shit was my heart. It was like watching Gene Wilder. Like if he was like,
he was yeah. Young. He did it justice. I'm really hard on a lot of people. You know, when they do those types of I don't want to call it iteration, but like you know, like prequels. I guess is not a prequel or like a, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's a prequel because it's before.
Is it three
like,
or is it just? I know they had two, but are they having three?
Hmm.
Anyway, so how's your day going?
Yeah. It's good. I just got off of work with my client. It was good.
Nice, nice. So, what do you feel about the market? How do you feel about things?
I mean,
and what's your favorite candy bar?
And what's your favorite candy bar?
Mr. Good Bar, every day, all day, simple,
Mr.
sweet,
Good Bar.
And nutty. Anyways, I looked at my So that's how I felt for a second, but then I was like, fuck it, whatever. That was okay. That's how I felt.
Did anybody here sell the most recent tops?
No.
I did.
I mean, sorry.
I didn't sell the top for Ethereum. I sold at 37.25 this morning. So like I felt like a dumbass when it ripped all the way past like 38. But now that I came back from rolling around and I see where it's at, I'm like, oh, I'm a genius. So
unless it turns around.
I was in a space yesterday with a dude who shorted Bitcoin from 68.7K, I think. He must be happy.
Wow. Now the badge of honor is how much leverage was it? Because if it's only one or two, then it's not. But if you did fucking 5 or 10x, Jesus.
Yeah, that would have been ballsy, but wasn't me. Oh. Wasn't me.
Patrick, are you you're back, right?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Awesome. I just want to make sure I didn't see the whatever was going on with Twitter. So just making sure that you're still here or not, or I wasn't rugging on my end.
No, I was just being funky, dude. But yeah. It's another day in crypto, dude. There's no missing. Nothing changes.
Yeah, I posted something.
Only the price. But we're here for the culture, though, right?
That's right. We're not.
Oh, of course.
Listen, boots ripping. Did you guys look at my boot? You look.
Okay,
hey,
okay.
Bands,
can
I got to
talk about boot. Yeah, boot? Thank you for that call, Bands.
You called that. How long ago, Bands, did you call that?
Fucking 2 years ago, bitches.
Yeah. It's best. If Bands goes down in history, it's going to be that call. I called that 2 fucking years ago. What is it?
Well,
I think there's only four. No, I'm sorry. There's probably like 7 zeros, which is good.
And then a six. And then a number of the six.
Is that how we do it? We don't even attempt to do the number. We just go, there's 7 6 zeros. There's 7 zeros, 6 zeros.
And a number. And the number starts.
There's a lot of zeros before your profit.
Yeah. So,
I need to talk about boot for a second. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I remember being in a space and BBIT was like, buy my pussy. No, buy the pussy. The space pussy, right?
The space pussy.
Yes, and I did that. And what now? I've been waiting for further instructions for like 6 months.
You know what? Like real life pussy, you just don't understand or know what's going on yet. So you just got to wait. You know what I mean?
Just keep pumping that bag, right? No, but honestly, I've been taking my boot, my boot staking rewards and selling them for H.
Wait, oh, you've been selling them for what?
Why are you selling them for H? Because H is the liquid staking token. Like once you stake, you already get H.
Yeah, but I shouldn't be saying this then, I guess, if people haven't figured it out.
Oh, okay.
There it is. Take it down, wrap it up, we're finished. No.
You fucked it up.
No, I want, you know what?
I'll just add there's an opportunity.
Send me a DM.
Arbitrum
send me a DM.
Wait. Gus, wait, there's a what?
Yes.
An arbitrage opportunity in there that you guys have to figure out for yourselves. And I think Bruce Mann, and by the way, hi, Bruce Mann. I think Bruce Mann has figured that out, and B-Band knows it for sure.
Oh, y'all fucking with me.
God damn it.
No.
Take it down. Take it fucking down, right?
Yeah, exactly. Take this thing down, Tank.
Nope.
Bring in the plunk, man. Let's go to shit talking.
Yeah. Y'all fucked up now.
That's the backside of the coin of feeling like smart, right? When you boast and you become stupid again.
That's the immediate time that you start becoming you know what? I'm trying not to use this word, but yeah, you're right. I'm not gonna say it, but you do become stupid again when you start boasting. So don't do it.
Is it boasting when, like, we all know what's going to happen? Like, we're all, like, talking shit and boasting, but we all know, like, this shit's going to, like, could change overnight. I don't think it's boasting. It's just, like, we're having a little fun trying to make ourselves feel better, but
she doesn't understand yet. She didn't catch it yet.
We'll keep that between you and I. I mean, I've never actually done it. I've just heard about it. So, anyway, yeah, but, I mean, I was actually surprised this took a dump. I really am. But, you know, in light of the ETFs and the supply and all that stuff. So I said, well, okay, this time's different. You know, never different.
Wait, you're surprised that Bitcoin's dumping right now?
Yeah, I am actually. But I think it's going to be a very short dump. But I'm not quite sure because I'm reading all this stuff about, you know, the amount that, you know, are on exchanges. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what's what because I get my news from Twitter, right? So I'm not one of these on-chain analytical guys, you know?
Yeah.
I'm surprised on Bitcoin a little bit.
I'm still, and again, if somebody wants to come up here, feel free, raise your hand. We'll get you up here. Maybe you guys know more than me. But the last that I heard and saw, I didn't do a lot of digging, but I saw the same thing that we were running out of supply on the exchange and that I guess we were at like an all-time low somewhat. So it's kind of hard to believe that that's not the case because people would be... all over that, verifying that, right? I mean, it's pretty easy. It's all on chain. You should be able to see that.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of people who want to get, you know, also I think the U.S. government holds a whole bunch of Bitcoin that they have to give back or something. And then at the same time, you've got, if you saw Timmy's stuff about USDT, his post about USDT and Tron, and I've heard about that in spaces for a while. And then also, I'm having deja vu right now.
I think I just figured it out.
What's that?
What?
So if you look up in the nest, right, and look at the tweet I made a meme yesterday. Bitcoin breaks all-time high, becomes a meme coin. So you know when a meme coin launches, they have like these videos of the devs locking the LPs and shit like that, right? And like everybody goes like, oh, they locked the LP for whatever days. So the Satoshi wallet. With 1 million Bitcoin, he's gonna do a video of locking extra liquidity into the market, bro. Oh my God, it's gonna be amazing. It is a meme coin after all. All these years, boys.
Dude, I will say, if that wallet even fucking flinches, that's it. Like, what would you guys do? If that wallet fucking flinched, what would you guys all run to your fucking ledger or your fucking web wallet and like just dump all your Bitcoin?
No, I would call my uncle and I said, what's up, man? I thought we had a deal. Uncle Satoshi.
What the fuck are you doing?
No, it's just a quantum computer bug bounty. That's all it is. It's just sitting there waiting for the first quantum computer to crack elliptic curves, then we're all cooked. We got to everyone shipping the chain upgrade, emergency chain upgrade, all the validators aren't gonna sleep for weeks. It's gonna be nuts.
Patrick, what do you think about that quantum compute discussion and narrative?
Yeah, there's a really cool guy up here in Toronto that we've been talking to him for a while about quantum, and he's kind of like my North Star. They have the technology crossing, like at the current rate, and assuming like nothing crazy changes, like we're looking at like 2030 is when quantum can crack elliptic curve cryptography, because it's not post-quantum encryption. We'd have to move to like lattice graphs and shit like that.
So just to reiterate, the guy he's talking to up in Toronto is Small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't talk Small, you asshole.
Yeah. There's there's quantum resistant ledger, QRL, which is a coin that I own. But the other part is the cooling. You know, you know more about it than I do, obviously, Patrick, but you know, it's the cooling is those things run really, really hot. I got into a couple of spaces about when the LK99 came out, and that turned out to be a nothing burger. But I do believe they'll be able to do something, but it's just a matter of cooling and stuff. And then the first thing they're going to go after is they're not going to go after Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is such a small market cap. They're going to go after the financial institutions and break those first. What do you think?
Well, like the thing is about the financial institutions, like you can break the cryptography, but like still they can revert the trend. It's like still like a centralized system, right? I'd honestly think that the first place that someone's going to go when they get their hands on it is they're going to go straight for Satoshi wallets. I think that's like the biggest return that you could possibly get out of it, because like the financial institutions, yes, but like all the banks, like once they even get like a whiff of it, they'll just revert the transactions and lock everything down. And they all have insurance, right, too. So, and then there's like derivatives of the insurance, and there's insurance on the insurance on the insurance as they have in the capital markets. So I wouldn't be like, and like the off ramp in TradFi is a lot more difficult, right? And crypto by nature is like you can go to jurisdictions where like you can do like shady OTCs in the Baltic region. Like that's where all the criminals would go when we were back doing like digital forensics and stuff like that and tracking those guys. They would just like hit like a flash loan attack, get into the Baltic somehow, and then just go and do a shady OTC. I wouldn't be surprised if the one of the first things to get hit would be Satoshi's wallet. But like once it starts kind of becoming like a danger, I could see like the Bitcoin community. It doesn't take much to switch to lattices. The only issue is that you have like this decentralized group of people that all have to coordinate, and everyone has to kind of like do a chain upgrade at the same time.
And what's the chance of that happening though?
Well, we're at 0% upgrade right now, so
like, oh, that's not far off. You're fucking with me right now. I gotta have a fucking another smoke or some shit. That's
2030. Well, we had a thread, me and him were going at it the other day. He's a really cool guy actually, and he's uber, like super smart. I can't remember his name's like he's like a Quebecer, he's like Philippe or something.
Wait, what did you call him? Quebecer? Really is that
in Canada we have Quebecers?
I was like, what is that?
We have like these French people that just live in the middle of our country, and they're so funny, dude. Oh my god. Like they pass all these laws where you have to speak French. And if what? you're dude.
They're snooty. Oh, they're so snooty, though. And I'm sorry. They're so like, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's definitely
no. I live like close to them, and like if I'm driving through Quebec to get to Nova Scotia, so that's where my girlfriend's from, I'm getting pulled over. Like it's so funny. So they have all these laws that in Quebec, like Canada has two languages, like two official languages. So it's another fuck thing. If you work in the government, you have to learn to speak French or else you're not getting promoted. If you go to a hockey game in Ottawa, Canada, they'll sing the national anthem in both languages. It's all, and all the signs in Quebec, like I can throw a rock. So I live in the nation's capital. So right on the other side of like this little river is Quebec. I can throw a rock and hit these guys. And like, they also have like the dumbest rules. Like they're so petty, dude. It's so funny. The you know how like wall outlets with like the plugs in the wall. You know how it's like the two like prongs at the top and then like the one ground at the bottom.
Yeah.
They flip them upside down. So they have all these building standards that are just to fuck with people. So they flip them literally upside down. So the ground's at the top and then the two prongs at the bottom. All the signs have to be French first, then English second. If you go to a doctor there or you're in the hospital, and you, like, they don't have to speak English to you. Like, even though they all can, like, they don't have to. So, like, they have the right to deliver it in French.
But they, no, but here's the thing, though. But if you're American and you go there, they have more, they have, like, a little more grace on you. But if you're Canadian and they know that you're Canadian, you don't speak French, it's different. Like, they'll be a little bit nicer because, like, oh, they'll just speak.
And it's not even French. It's, like, it's, like, franglais. It's, like, this dirty, like, hillbilly French. It's so funny. And dude, it's and they all come into Ontario and then they're all construction workers. It's so funny, dude. Like, these guys, like, my mom was doing a reno, and like, you hire any construction company, they're all French. It's so funny. They're all like construction people and lumberjacks and also like high fashion, like Jack Victor and stuff like that in Montreal. So they're just like so French, and they come, I swear to God, like, these guys didn't do any work like for months when they were doing my mom's renos. Like, every time I'd show up, these guys, like, they're eating like apple pie from like McDonald's, and they're like playing with the radio, and it's just like they're all just like standing there watching one dude work. It's like all time. So funny.
That's
a lot. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to go to Quebec, or a teenager, I used to go to Quebec every summer, and they didn't like us up there. When I was a teenager, I felt it then. Now I live in Florida, right? And they're in my, they invade my hometown every winter. And but the good news is that the French look down on them. They think they're French, but they're not.
They're okay, not even really French.
No, no, these guys are like dirty French compared, like, when actual French people like come, if my, so like, they're Acadian French. It's kind of like what do you guys have? You know, in New Orleans, like, there's French people Cajuns. For some reason. They're they're Acadian, yeah. Cajuns. And it's just dirty French, but it's the best, dude. I love these people. Like, Putin, man, like, they come up with all the good shit, but at the same time, like, they're fuckers, man. Like, they're fuckers. Like, they all drive, like, Subaru WRXs for some reason. Like, it's so funny, dude.
Subaru. The license plate hasn't changed. The license plate hasn't changed since the 80s. It's Je me souviens. I mean, yeah, which means I'm proud of myself. Basically, that's what it means.
Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, and the best part. Okay, so there's this political party. So we don't have like a two-party system like in the United States. We have just anyone can just, me and you guys can just like spin up like a Canadian political party and like actually have a chance. So they have this one party. It's like the Separatist Quebec Party, where like every few years they get like 48%. To like actually just try to separate from Canada, even though they're just completely landlocked. It's so funny. Like, and they get really close, like every few years where they do this vote for, it's like the Bloc Quebecois is like the party. And they always hold like four or five seats in parliament, and they just like talk shit. It's honestly the best. It's like our house would just have like a mixture of multiple parties, and they all just hate each other. It's like, it's the best, dude. It's honestly the best.
You know, I think it was when De Gaulle was around, they actually invited the French Navy to sail down the St. Lawrence River. And that really pissed off the Americans. Pissed off everybody. So I don't know when that was, but they invited a warship to go down their river. To be
between
two borders.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, like these guys, it's honestly, it's a comedy skit. It's a comedy skit every time. Yeah, that's some little Canadian history for you all. But yeah, we do have these Quebecers. anyways, so the quantum computing guy is a Quebecer.
Yeah, back to quantum computing.
So he's a good guy though. I'm gonna try to like Pierre Luc or something like that. Such a classic friendship.
So, wait, not to get deep into stuff. So, do you buy that
before? Sorry, Tank. Before you go, I just need to say you cannot miss the opportunity to say Quebecian computing in such a scenario as this. Sorry.
Yes. Go ahead. Quebecian computing.
No, but so being who you are and building stuff, right? Building what you're building. Do you believe in this quantum compute like narrative? Like, right? What is Patrick doing to prepare for that? Like, do you think like that directly affects what you guys are doing, right? Like, what the?
Yeah, it would be super lame. So, like, essentially, what we would have to do is we'd have to switch from elliptic curves to lattices. So, the reason why no one's done it is because everything would be slower. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like in short, like everything would be a little bit slower and a lot more lame. And like when we're all competing with each other, not as much for Jackal, but like more for like DEXs and NFT marketplaces, like the quantum NFT marketplace is going to be like a step function worse in user experience than the other ones.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. So if it becomes like an existential risk, how do I put things in the nest? I've never figured this out.
If you see, so if you go to Twitter and you like click on it, click on whatever, you go to that like copy link thing, you should see it pop up.
Copy so link. It's an option. It's an option under the button you use to press when you need to share a tweet, either to copy the link or send it to a DM or whatever.
Cool.
So there's a share to the space option.
Okay, I'm gonna find it again, and then I'll get here. It is share with community. No.
You should see like something there that says, like literally what the space name is, and you could share it to that. It should be in the very top.
I think I did it.
Yeah, you got it.
So that's what he's looking at right now. At the end of the day, I think it's gonna be inevitable, but like the infra that we have right now, like running lattices, is gonna like suck. So like hopefully by like 2029, 2031, like our validator machines will be better. So then like you don't really feel it as much. Because like they just have to do a lot more compute now. And it's just like it's just gonna be a bitch.
What's up, Chris?
Hey guys, should I sell my Bitcoin?
You need to talk about.
I'm scared. I think I need to sell my Bitcoin.
Brother, you need to stake it in this protocol I'm developing. Okay, I'll take care of it. It's gonna be your custodial, non-custodial Bitcoin. Best of both worlds.
Yeah. No. I don't. Chris. All seriousness. What do you think about this downturn?
About the downturn?
Yeah, have you had anybody? Because if you're like me, and I'm assuming a lot of you guys are like me, in my everyday life, the muggle world, as I call it, people that are not magical and like into fucking crypto, any single time, it's like that conversation that we always have at the dinner table with friends and families, like when they see us for Thanksgiving or whatever, they're like, hey, Tank, how's that crypto trade? Whenever they see something bad, it's the only time they ever want to talk to me about it. So like even today, when I walked in, they're like, hey, Tank, how's that Bitcoin? And I'm like, the fuck, I don't care. Like, what the fuck?
I can tell you why, because if they have to talk about it when it's going good, that hurts, because then they were wrong and you were right and they missed out, and that's not nice.
This is true.
And it's bouncing now. But
is it really? What's it out right now?
Yeah, I'm on Kraken, but it's 62,377.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
The way I looked at it, it's like 3 days ago, this is where we were at. So who fucking cares?
And dude, from a 16K bottom to be back up to a 68, 69 pre-halving,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what people have negative to say about it at all.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Bro, I've been receiving Facebook messages from normies asking me if I can help them to onboard some of their fiat into Bitcoin. Seems like the top, to be honest.
That actually might be a top signal.
So can I deposit Bitcoin into your Shark protocol, Bruce? Is that what that's?
Oh my God! I never thought anybody would ask. So let me tell you about our Lord and Savior Shark protocol.
That's awesome.
But seriously, the stream swap is going to happen in next week, guys. This is going to be the best entry point. Shark token will outperform Bitcoin within 3 years. Just wait and see.
Wait, when is it going to happen? What exact date?
Okay. I'm going to give you the infographics.
Yeah, tell me.
So the bootstrapping event is going to happen from the 13th to the 15th of March. And after that, the streaming phase is going to start, and that's going to take 10 hours. That's basically I just shared a tweet with all the technicalities.
And this is the stream swap feature, right?
Yeah. And it's going to take place on the Osmo chain, and you're going to need Osmo. We have made a testnet pool that you can try out, and all the info is in the tweet.
Chris, you probably used this before. I've never used it. Even when they, what was the first one that they did with Stream Swap?
Flix. That was how they launched the Flix token.
Yeah, it was the Flix. That's right. I've never, it's going to sound so bad, I've never used it before. So kind of nervous.
I'm so happy that it exists now. Like back before Stream Swap existed, for new Cosmos projects, this story is gonna be so funny in a few years. Like we just had to like take like whatever like money we raised in our seed and just like provide our own liquidity. It's like when you're the first person to provide liquidity in the liquidity pool and you just get cooked. And yeah, we just have to be like, well, like we think the market will think it's this price. Like, no. No, that's not how it works at all. So I'm happy the stream swap exists because it actually like does price discovery rather than like the devs just YOLOing like a good chunk of your runway and just hoping for the best. It was just all time, dude. All time.
Have you used because now we have options, right? Now again, Bruce, I'm not trying to pivot away, but I've just never used. The only one I've actually ever used, or I've done the Kujira pilot, I guess it's similar. And I've then done since the Astrovault, they're going to kill me for this, but I can't think. Outbid? They're going to kill me. I can't remember.
Outbid. I think it's Outbid.
Yeah, Outbid. So similar, different, but similar ones, right? Is... The other one's not like that, right? Stream Swap isn't like that. Is it like a Dutch auction, or how does it go?
So, do you want to go, Patrick?
I don't know how it works. It just is unmuted for no reason.
Okay. So it works in the way that the project that want to launch the token or stream the token, they put up a fixed amount, right? So in Shark Protocol's case, it's 5 million Shark. And during the bootstrapping phase, or during the whole stream, actually, you can deposit, in this case, Osmo, that will be streamed linearly against the 5 million Shark tokens over 10 hours. So that's going to be like 83,000 something Shark per minute.
Okay. That's interesting.
And when the stream is concluded, you can see how much Osmo, the community, has spent. And then you just divide that with the amount of Shark, and then you have the price.
So it's like true price discovery in a sense, then.
It is, and it's also a decentralized and a fair way to launch your token. So there's no like pre-sale and all this stuff.
So I'm trying to think this through. I might be asking idiotic questions, but yeah, you know, whatever. It's me. What happens to like any of the tokens that don't get bought? Is it anything like what the fuck happens?
No. Okay, so when the stream is starting or happening, you can still deposit and remove tokens as you please, right?
Okay.
So that will change the price. So you can see how many tokens are deposited during the stream is happening, and if there's too many, you can say, okay, now the price per Shark token is too high, so I'm gonna withdraw my unspent Osmo.
Oh, you can okay.
Yeah. So you can see the price go if many people like react in the same way you do or have the same strategy, you can see the price per Shark fall again or decrease again over the period. So you, in that way, it's also flexible.
So you can't game it kind of like we saw with Outbid, where you're waiting for the very end and then thinking you're going to get a better price, right? Because that price moves with the bids or with the people buying on StreamSwap. I got to look at this again. I fucking forget. There's so many different ones.
So yeah, you're not really buying it. You're like putting your tokens. You're making your tokens available, right? And
right. And then at the end of it, it executes and then you get for whatever it was.
It's streaming, yeah, like linearly, but how do I explain this? So like every minute, every minute a fixed amount of Shark is being streamed against the available Osmo. Right?
Okay.
And that available Osmo is people's deposits, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So if you have a period, sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Just to clarify, so the person launching or the team launching the token, they're not providing both sides of the trade. They're only providing their token, and yep, the community is collecting that token based on a bid amount that they can either add or remove to kind of find price.
Yep. Okay. So how the mechanics works is, we have 5 million Shark that is fixed, right? And that has to be streamed or released linearly. Oh, I can't say the word. So equal amount per each second over the duration of 10 hours, right? So it's a fixed amount that is released every minute. The same mechanism is happening on the other side. That amount is just not fixed. So, for example, if there is, in the beginning of the stream, there's 10 million Osmo available, then there's a fixed, that amount is divided up to in minute, parts of a minute, right? So if you have like 10 hours, then you have 600 minutes.
Okay.
Right? So if you divide that 600 with 10 million Osmo, you have that amount that is streamed against the Shark. If the Osmo amount changes, then the amount of Osmo that is spent against the 83,000 something Shark changes. And that's how the price is discovered. So in the end, you can see how much Osmo in total was spent, and then you make the price discovery happens.
Interesting. That's interesting. There's so many different ways to now, like, dare I say, bootstrap liquidity for your project in the Cosmos. I don't know which one. Like, and to be fair, I'm a little biased because I haven't used StreamSwap yet, but I really like using Outbid. There's a couple of things that could be different or whatnot, but from what I understood, you know, everybody who's launching or uses it potentially can change the variables in that. They just did it the way they did it. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I've used Kajura and, like, you know, I'm sponsored. Shout out to Kajura. Shout out to Jackal as well, sponsored. So, like, keep that in mind. But, like, as far as Kajura and Pilot goes, I've used it a few times. I don't know if, like, I'm a fan or if I'm, like, just like, meh, I'm okay with it. I'd be interested. Did you look at the other ones, Bruce? Like, to be fair, and like, ask yourself, like, you know, maybe it'd be better off going somewhere else? Or, like, why did you guys choose that? Did I lose Bruce?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, awesome. I was just out in the kitchen. So I think the reason why the team chose StreamSwap was, the first iteration was like a token auction in some way or form to avoid legalities or legislation around an ICO.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the mechanics behind it was just hard to do in a foolproof way regarding law and Gary Gensler.
Yeah.
So this protocol StreamSwap, or this opportunity or this option is probably the thing that aligns most with the values of Raccoon Supply and the intention of how they want to launch the token.
That's interesting. I get that. I can see that, because on Outbid there was like a set price that you're presenting at buying at certain points and stuff like that, like, for everything. And then I guess with StreamSwap, there is no, like, actual set price that you're offering it. It's just like
no, because the price, Exactly, because the prices can only be calculated after the stream is ended.
We have Sean over here with a witch hat. What's going on? Came up as speaker. How you doing, my friend?
I don't see her up here.
Oh, damn. Yeah, Twitter seems to be buggy today, so apologies, my friends.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Chris, man. Hey, Chris.
Hey, stop doing, being man? Weird, you fucking weirdos.
So when we decided to do the bets launch, we were considering StreamSoft. So once you guys get through this, I'll probably hit you up and kind of do a review with you and get your thoughts on how the overall process went. That's okay.
Of course, man. Of course. So far, they're very helpful, and they have like a very nice guide on a lot of steps that they want projects to take around the code, like with community engagement and stuff like that. And that's really now, nice.
Is Shark doing an airdrop at all or stream swap only?
There's an... Oh, my brother Chris, where have you been? No, okay, my world have been filled with this Shark airdrop recently. Yeah, so the snapshots was taken back in October and November, I think, and then because a lot of community members missed it and they were really sad about it, the team decided to take two additional snapshots in this year. I think it was like in the beginning of February, the first week of February. So there's going to be an airdrop, 10% of the token.
What's it called? Can you give us the rest of the tokenomics real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let me just find them so I can get you all the specifics.
That's exciting.
So why would you want to do, and this is just me asking for real, like I'm not fucking with you. Why would you want to do, like what makes you choose to do StreamSwap prior to the airdrop or vice versa? Like what was your thoughts or process around that?
So because they want to first of all, make sure there's a deep liquidity. They want to give an entry point for investors prior to the airdrop. And they also need price discovery, and the best way to get it, I think, that's my personal opinion, is through like the community's confidence or vote. And we need to establish deep liquidity, and like that's something the community has to do, I would say. There's going to be two pools, by the way. There's going to be one on Migaloo, which is made up of whale that is deposited from the Migaloo Whale Foundation, and then the Shark Protocol, and then there's going to be the Osmo and the Shark pool on Osmosis, where the price and the liquidity is decided by the community.
So when you do stream swap, at the end of it, the team is not withdrawing the money that was provided by the buyers of the token.
No.
That stays in the pool as liquidity.
Absolutely.
For future DEX trading, right?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. That's what I was getting at. Because I was thinking about that with our token a lot recently. Like, you know, how am I going to have like the other side of the liquidity, all these things? And someone suggested either I'll do a stream swap. And I'm like, okay, I got to start paying attention, reading into these things. So I really haven't. So
remember, be sure you read the fine print as well, because there is, it's not a small fee you have to pay to use the protocol.
What's the fee?
So I think it's like 3K Osmo and a set percentage of the streamed amount.
God damn.
Yeah, it's not cheap. So that's the only thing that's not very community oriented about the whole thing.
Hmm.
But as Eric the Nick Weisenden would say, gotta make some fucking profits.
Yeah.
Gotta have some revenue.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do. That's exciting stuff, man. I'm excited for you guys, dude.
Bro, man, you have no idea, man. Me too. It's just such a joy to see. I'm not watching Mold Code, but just to see his reaction to his own work. Like, he is so fucking hyped about Raccoon Bed version 4 and Shark Protocol.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know he's hyped when he goes quiet. I feel like.
Yep.
I feel like when they're quiet, like, shit's getting done.
Yeah, it's true, and they're quiet a lot. So
yeah,
that's literally why I'm here. Yeah. Because they do not have the time to talk.
Well, shit. I wish they did. I miss those guys, man. I miss those guys. Bands, have you played around with that shark?
Honestly, no, but now I will.
Yeah, call you out for it. Did we get our friend up here? Can you speak? Oh, Ragley?
Yeah, I tried a couple of times, and he's connected now. So, Sean.
What up, dude?
What's going on, my friend? How's your day going?
Good, man. I'm ready for the if you want me to talk like present time, like what I think right now.
Yeah, go for it, dude.
Well, I was short, real good, and now I'm long, real good, because I'm pretty sure that's the only option here is to go up. I don't think that there's any reason to go down.
I kind of feel the same way. And I think a lot of other people that I've been speaking to also feel the same way. So I'm glad I'm not the only knucklehead out there thinking the same.
I had an excellent short position. I posted on my Twitter. I was over 1,000% up on my short. And I just cashed it in for a long. But, yeah.
Damn, there you go.
No, I'm pretty sure because, like, Bitcoin can't – I mean, it's fucking over, you know. It's fucking over if Bitcoin goes down right now. If it goes to $100 within its all-time high and then just fucking falls over and collapses, we're not coming back. So, like, I don't know. This is not even ranked high on the craziest shit I would have ever seen Bitcoin do if it goes up there and breaks it all-time high now. It's just a bigger scale, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying to a lot of people. It's kind of just par for the course. Like, I will say, you know, when people say Bitcoin go down, and like at what level... And I guess that's the question for the room. At what level, price-wise, would that actually be a reality? Like, actually something that you would entertain in your head? Like, if Bitcoin went to X amount?
If it breaks 39,000, I think right now is the bull market support band. So, like, it's got a ways to go, and it's still well into the bull, like, side of things. Actually way, way, way out ahead of where it should be. So, it's probably due for some time back, you know? But it could also just go. I mean, I remember 2015, it just went up for 6 weeks straight and then collapsed. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think this is, you know, in retrospect, looking back to the previous week or so, what goes up must come down. And we freaking trampled bears. So like, you know, like, is this a bad day? Not so much, especially if you were taking profits and laddering out, going back to the, you know, obvious level of resistance that a lot of people are going to be people that were just stuck there for 2 years, basically, you know, they were looking to de-risk. And it's just it was a natural place to start shorting. I know a lot of people that are messaging me and it was like, Tank, I'm putting in shorts. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be protected, but I'm putting in shorts at the old high. And I'm like, dude, got it. I don't necessarily do that stuff. Shorting to me, I'm just not good at it. I just can't switch my brain off to like, short some shit that I'm bullish on. I just can't. But I have tons of friends that are like, fuck this shit. I am shorting the shit out of it at previous resistance. And so like you said, good on you, man. Ride that down, come back up, ride it back up.
Yeah, it's like, but dude, so my, at least on the KuCoin and like two other exchanges I looked at, like it stopped dead on 59,000 0 cents. Like that's
did
where
it really? That's crazy.
Yeah. In the futures market too, like same price. So it's like, it was clearly a very, very, very quick move that was set, you know, to stop, you know, the sell orders at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, it was like an algorithm. Cause you guys saw the price, dude. That's not like the free market trading.
Yeah. That's not normal. That's not normal by a lot. Yeah. I think Simi actually put something out there. He was like, this not sketchy at all. And I was like, no, that's super sketchy.
Yeah, it was wild watching the way it was. It was just like spoofing prices up too, like orders, putting orders in and then like taking them off like before they could get filled just to like move the price around. It was fucking crazy.
Do you remember that fucking 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid who made the first flash crash back in, was it the 90s or like the early 2000s? He made a flash crash on Wall Street that cost, I don't know, billions.
Yeah, it's just triggering, cascading, you know, orders. And then there's nothing they can do to stop
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny story. No, sorry.
I swear to God, if this freaking Ubuntu, I just want to throw this shit out the window sometimes. I swear to God. One day it works just fine. I'm doing the same codes to load this fucking miner on, and other days it just doesn't want to do this shit. Fuck it. Swear to God. Should have just downloaded fucking Windows on this stupid thing. Sorry, just ranting over here. Dude. This is what I've been doing the whole entire time is literally trying to load random X I can't even speak anymore. I'm so damn flustered. X and Brig. So I can start mining Zephyr on this fucking thing, and I swear to God, I'm gonna throw it out the window.
Well, just make sure you go long before you throw it out the window.
Yeah. So I can catch it. I gotta catch this bitch. Spent too much money on it.
I mean,
hey boys and girls, I got dropped down to listener. Thank you very much, Tank, for giving me the
all good. The appreciate you, man.
Appreciate that. Yeah, thanks, man. I just got some work came up, so I'll be listening. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Nice hearing your voice, Gus.
When Gus says work, Bruce, what do you think he's doing?
He's out in the shed and then he's rearranging all his plunk.
Yeah. He's turning them upside down like those fucking Canadians.
No, I just had somebody a client message me, so I gotta call him back. So hey, talk to you guys later.
Later, nice man, seeing later. You. So nice seeing you, Gus. So what that means, a client calling him, is he could see on his security camera a plunk bag filled down off the shelf, and it's very important to get back up. Anyway, Tank, I got some tokenomics for you if you wanna.
Yeah, shoot it at us, man.
Okay, so 10%. So it's the total allocation of the total. Yeah, there's 100 million Shark tokens to ever exist. 10% is for marketing and expenses, 10% is for emergency fund, then 10% for airdrop, 10% for the Mikalu Foundation, 10% for weekly missions on the site. So you can, you have to perform weekly missions and you will get free tokens. Then 10% for the team, and then 17.5% for staking and LP incentives, and 20% for liquidity. And then 2.5% for the Raccoon DAO. And that's the token DAO.
Where's my 1%?
Oh, that's in my pocket, brother.
Oh, shit. I tried. I had to try.
You literally did not try to do anything.
Well, right there was my attempt. It wasn't.
Oh, okay. Well, you tried.
I did. It was a sad attempt.
64,000.
Ah, dude, that's some crazy shit, dude. You see, if it goes back to 65 before the quote unquote day for the regular markets closes, I'm just gonna fucking go smoke another bowl. Like, I'll just go smoke another bowl, dude. It's and I'm supposed to teach jiu-jitsu later. I'll just be high as a kite teaching people how to choke each other out. Fucking whatever.
Bro. Oh my God. Bro, it will definitely go over 64.
It's the best way to do it.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, I go and practice jiu-jitsu high as fuck sometimes.
I do too, but it's hard to teach high because I can't focus on what I'm talking
about. I don't teach high. I definitely just go roll. Because you're loose. You don't give a fuck. You're just like fucking whatever.
Yeah, choke me.
Yeah,
baby.
Well, I'm not like that. I feel like it does definitely help.
Oh, but it is definitely a performance enhancing drug, like for sure. there's a reason why you can't be high and perform pro athlete, pro sports.
I don't know. I could never be a NASCAR driver or a fucking Formula One driver high. Like that, I just feel like that probably wouldn't work out.
Now, Tank, remember like the early days of video games when on the race car games that like the screen would load like 20 feet in front of you and you would get to the end of that 20 feet and it would reload and reload? Yeah. That's all you got to do is make it the next 20 feet and you can race.
Dude, Gran Turismo, like I used to play that game. When that game first came out on PlayStation, bro, I was fucking baked. You used to like mod out all the fucking Hondas and Acuras on that damn thing. I loved that game. I used to fucking just bake on that game. Anyway.
Yeah, driving in video games high is probably one of the most enjoyable experiences you could ever have because you don't have the fear of really getting pulled over.
Well, you know, the one thing I've always wanted to do, my wife won't let me do it. She just thinks it's ridiculous. Have you ever seen those flying simulators where I'm not talking about just buying the game. I want to get the whole fucking thing. Have you seen those things? Like that looks amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn how to fucking fly a damn Boeing living room.
So what you're going to do is you're going to start with one of the racing simulators. It's smaller. It's easier to convince her. And then you're going to highly motivate her to play the damn thing until she gets addicted. And then you ask for the flying simulator. It's going to be way easier.
Dude, my wife would never play. She's like one of those people that she just thinks video games is like a complete waste of time. Complete waste.
And he married a demon.
Yeah, I did. I married the complete opposite of myself because I needed it.
Oh my God. That is not, first of all, like, but she's not like bothering him about his playing his game. He plays his games. He has fun, you know? She lets you.
I can do it for like community game day and all that stuff. I don't play games. Like, the only time I play games is when she's fucking gone. If she's around the house, I don't play. There's no fucking way I'm playing video games.
I did the same thing, Tank. I married a girl who is the exact opposite of me because if I didn't, I'd be a loser.
I married a loser.
I'd be sitting there getting high playing video games all day. Right. And once I got married, like, well, can't do that anymore. Well,
yep. Hey, man. I'm just a dog trying to chase the cat. I'm going to be very honest, and I like that cat. So happy wife, happy life, man. She's around. I go cook fucking dinner. I like cooking. I'll go cook dinner and fucking do my shit, but I'm not playing video games. That's for when she's gone. Any case. Chris, tell me what's going on with your project, man.
Same old, dude. Bike this weekend, so we got a couple of NFTs out. We've been doing a lot of collabs, trying to get collabs from outside of Omniflix. So a lot of these Tezos, like artsy art people, have done some collabs with them. Kind of exposing them to Cosmos.
Chris, if you ever got an idea for a collab with Shark, hit me up.
Oh, it's coming. In fact, I just shot Tank a message this week. I saw where Coots was doing the NFT Nashville. I was like, dude, let's do some NFT Nashville fighters going in July.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Bruce, man, when you want, like, that's truly what I want. Don't get me wrong. Do I want to feature artists? Of course. Do I want to feature projects like what we have? Other NFT projects where you have their characters and that kind of stuff. Yeah, cool. But ultimately what you want is you want brands and businesses and dApps and all that kind of stuff to sponsor them. And then that helps, you know, it's mutually beneficial, right?
Absolutely, man. It's a very easy way. Like we kind of have the same demographic, right? We want gamblers, we want bettors, we want degens.
Exactly.
And like we are in different ecosystems. So why not? We can share people's wallet.
Exactly. You want to expose the people who are in Fight Farm who don't know about Shark or Raccoon to you guys, and you want vice versa. You want your people who aren't necessarily familiar with Fight Farm, and you got this token. So, like, what better way than to, like, say, hey, we're going to airdrop some token to you if you buy the NFTs and all that kind of stuff. There's so much crossover potential, and I think as we go into the market, we're going to see more and more of that. But, yeah, Tank, right now we're still at a standstill because the biggest thing for us is going to be two things, the DAOs, and we've seen how DAOs have impacted Stargazer. Mm-hmm. But I think Omniflix version of DAOs is going to be the same way, right? for me specifically, because our actual gameplay, some decisions you make on certain matches are going to be governance related. So, you know, we need the DAOs to spin up on OmniFlix. We need to test those and get that going. And then the next catalyst will be who's going to be the first fighter to either retire or leave the UFC. I thought it was going to be Henry Cejudo. After that last fight, he only had one NFT, a V1. And I thought he was going to be one NFT and done because he lost, right? I thought for sure he'd retire. And then he got on YouTube the other day and said he's not fucking retiring. I'm like, you fucking retard.
You're supposed to retire.
But what we need is we need our first legend NFT, because the whole idea behind legends is, like, if you have a UFC fighter and he has three or four fights in a year, or over 2 years or 3 years or however long, each one gets a new version of the NFT. So every version's capped. Maybe his first NFT, he sold six NFTs. Maybe the second one, he sold 20. Yeah. The third one, he sold 50. Well, eventually when they retire or leave, what we do is if you have one of every version, you can burn it and get a legend. And then the legend, you can gamble that on two other fighters' fight and try to steal 50% of the pot from the other players. So I think once we have DAOs and legend NFT games, that's going to really kind of pique people's interest and get them interested. I mean, it's always going to be simple where you can buy NFTs and hold them and earn on the fighters' wins. So if you just want to, like, set it and forget it, you can. But if you really want to get into the DAOs and the legends, I think that's where the true fun's going to be at.
Yeah. So wait, now, so with the upcoming fights, what's your guess on the soonest? Like, who do you think is going to be the legend coming up there? Is there any kind of idea?
Well, I mean, the one I thought would be the most likely would be Cejudo, because he was retired. Yeah. He came back. He did one fight. I didn't do an NFT for it because I didn't think he was going to win. He lost. Well, then he had this second fight. And I'm like, well, surely whether he wins or loses, he'll retire, because, you know, he's getting older. He's already won two championships. He's an Olympic gold medalist. What more does he have to prove?
He's that money, man.
So I thought Cejudo. But then when you look at it, I think the next logical ones, dude, is if you look at John Jones, especially with his recent injury. We do have one John Jones NFT, the V1. He was supposed to fight, what's the fireman guy's name? The white dude from Ohio?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That was a champ?
Yeah.
So we had NFTs for both of those guys. And either one of those are, like, guys that could probably retire in the next year. Who else do we have on the roster that we have an NFT for that's older? I would say most of the people we have, honestly, are kind of the mid-tier, the newer generation.
Yeah, so they got a while unless they get injured or some crazy shit.
I think we're gonna see multiple versions before they retire. Now remember though, there could be a contract issue. If they leave the UFC and they go to PFL, they go to the Bellator, there's no more UFC events for you to earn from the rewards pool because they don't have any more UFC fights. We're only doing UFC. So,
oh, I didn't know. I was going to say, so if they just move federations, does that count for them?
Okay. Yeah. If they leave, yeah, we're going to count that as they've exited the game. At that point, we can make them a legend NFT. So, the other thing is like you said, injury. What if it's someone like where they get injured and they don't fight for 2 or 3 years? At some point, I think with a DAO, you should just vote. Hey, do we count this as a,
yeah, there's, you know, they're forced retirement. And do it. Yeah.
But that's kind of the cool thing about the DAO is you can introduce those things and then everyone can get consensus on how do you want to do you want them to have a legend card? Do you want to wait it out? Like, what is the game? What do the players want?
Yeah. That's interesting, man. Super interesting. And to, I apologize. I've had so many things going on. Oh, man. I so don't ever want to always bring it up. But so many things going on with Juno. So many other things happening around the house. I saw your message and couldn't get back to you in time. But definitely, for sure. Let's do it. For sure. 100%.
Yeah, just shoot me over the logos. I didn't know whether you would have them or Joe or who did the NFT National logo, but just do that. Then we can kind of talk about an upcoming fight in either May. April is UFC 300. There's like 6 or 7 fights we've already got scheduled for then. So I think May, June, July would be logical. Maybe you do like two fights for May and June. Going into that, and we can just do all the proceeds, all the profit will go to you guys, and of course a small amount will go to the rewards pool for Forsaken.
Okay, cool. Yep. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let me see.
Awesome. And Bruce, hit me up. We'll talk to you.
Let's do that, man. Sounds good.
Hopefully you guys,
because I love rats.
Hey, Bruce, sorry. Tell me what's going on with Raccoon, do you know?
Yeah, I know, man. I know some of it. So imagine you have like this, what should you call it? It's like an ecosystem, right? Of app chains, and there's hundreds of them. And the liquidity is so fucking shattered, right? Oh, it's terrible. It's just, oh, terrible. But then you have like this one chain that has like almost all the liquidity, but they don't got like this casino. And then there's going to be like these raccoons there, and they're going to set up a casino on that chain. Imagine that.
So basically, Raccoon is going to Archway.
Exactly. No, they're working on a new... they're working on the... hopefully, the last iteration of Raccoon.bet. And it's going to launch on...
Hey, dude, Eric is going to tell you that Osmo was the wrong choice, brother.
Oh, but there's... Hey, we can launch on fucking Astro Vault as well. It's no problem. Like...
I know. I'm just...
I know.
I think right now that it's so early over there that you're wise to still chase the Osmo Dragon going into the bull, because Astro Vault's going to be there later on during the bull. So why not, right?
Absolutely. And I've talked with them, and I've suggested Archway on many occasions to set up shop, and the thing is, there's just not the volume right now, and there are two guys building, right? So
yeah,
time against volume is very important. There's going to be six new games.
So what do you think?
Sorry.
About
yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead,
Chris, go ahead, man.
No, I was gonna say, what do you think about when you launch on Osmo, what do you think about the adoption from the community there, as far as like you guys expect it to be huge, because that's where the majority of the volume goes to trade. Do you think that will lead to automatic usage, or do you think you're going to market to them? Like, what's the overall feeling of how that's going to be adopted?
So, without saying too much, we or Raccoon Supply wants to make sure that the right steps are taken to achieve the optimal and most engaged community awareness and engagement during the launch and prior to the launch, if that makes sense.
You want to advertise? Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know what I can say, but like, we want to make sure that the brand will grow.
Dude, you could have stayed on Juno for that.
We never left Juno.
That's a total joke. I'm anxious to see Tank tell us something about Juno. Make us feel better.
That's a very, very accurate way to put it.
Damn it, I almost choked laughing on that one. Damn it. Don't kill me. Guys, it's a work in progress. It really is. And trust you me, like, nobody knows better than the people that are on the charter. I know that's not like the thing that people want to hear. But there's a lot of good work that's actually happening on Juno, regardless of what social media people post. It really is. Like, you know, you see the people. I'm going to try to walk a tightrope right now, because actually some of these people are my friends. Like, some of the people that FUD, you know, this, I don't even know if you want to call it FUD, because everybody's, you know, they can have their own opinion. And who are we to say, you know, wrong or right? Everybody's opinion usually is based on their social and or financial position or experience of that thing. And a lot of people got burnt with Juno. Like, they just did. Whether it was on their own, which I will say right now, and I don't want me to be heartless, but you got to practice proper risk management. So nobody, exactly. You can't blame anybody other than yourself. Yeah. So it's like, if you bought Juno at $40-something, that's fucking on you. If you bought it at 30, 20, 10, 5, $1, that's still on you.
If you buy anything at the top of a bull, you're taking a huge risk.
Yeah, you got to do your due diligence. You got to be looking in to like what's happening for the chain, you know, what's previously happened and stuff like that. And again, I'm not trying to like shame all these people that have been saying what they've been saying about Juno. It's a lot of times warranted. Like, I totally get, I fucking totally get why people say certain things. But a lot of it, let's be honest, a lot of it is because they lost money on that thing, not because of a potential of what the chain can do or where it's positioned. They're saying that because they lost money 9 times out of 10. And I'd even go, I see Jacob saying, I'd even go as far as saying 9.5 times out of 10. Like, yeah, I'd push it all the way to the max on that. That's usually in crypto where they're coming from whenever they say stuff. If you look at like what's going, even the people that are naysayers and like, you know, non-believers of Juno and wanted to die and say stuff like that, they cannot combat the discussion of what cool shit the charter is actually doing right now. Like, if we were to actually be able to streamline and automate a lot of these things that the charter is trying to accomplish, right? It's a big try. It's a big ask. It's a big picture. Like, Juno and as a smart contract platform or application, whatever you want to call it, would be literally the first ever in the greater crypto landscape that is literally being ran in the most decentralized and community-based way ever, right? Ever. That's crazy. So regardless of what you think, like, that's pretty freaking cool when you're looking at that. We're like an example for everybody else to point their fingers at. And it's easy. It's so easy to hindsight quarterback when you're not in the pool, it's or not in the game. It's easy to say, haha, you're doing it wrong when you're not doing it. So like, again, I know sentiment is everything in crypto, but I don't know, man. Sometimes, like, I don't want to say don't believe them and don't hear them out, because there's valid cases to some of their arguments, but just keep in mind like where they're coming from. It's usually because they financially lost. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, you actually touched on something I was just about to bring up, because there's two ways when you launch a train, right? Like you said, Juno did it in one of the most decentralized ways. They don't have any like centralized foundations or parties or controllers. There's no Charles Hoskinson. There's no supply X person's name there, right? But there's trade-offs, because when you bootstrap a chain and you have that kind of more centralized approach, yeah, things may go smoother, but it comes with a lot of risk. I think you brought up on a space a couple months back about, hey, they can never come after Juno and say that there was anyone that was like doing this, or this, because those people don't exist. Everything's permissionless. Whereas you could technically, you know, theoretically chase some of these more centralized bootstrap chains. So people need to realize there's trade-offs to both. Both have positives, both have negatives, and there's risk associated with both. For me, I'm still staking Juno. And for the main reasons, like you said, it's permissionless. And I think long-term, if you can work through the hardships and work through the pain, that, you know, those ecosystems tend to flourish. And I think that in the Cosmos ecosystem, because we have so many like centralized bootstrapped app chains and this chain and that chain, not that there's anything wrong with that. We need a little bit of every flavor, right? It's all theoretical on like what's the best way to do it. But I think long-term, you know, you need a chain like Juno where anyone can spin up anything, right?
Yeah. And like, again, I've said this many times before, so I'll try not to go into my monologues or anything like that. But like, there's some really cool features about Juno. Like, and you know, granted, with that also comes the other side. But like, you know, Juno's origin story, knowing what we know, and hopefully it's true, like, still to this, I'll still say it until it's proven otherwise. Like, as far as regulatory concerns or anything else like that, it's the only smart contract application that I know about right now currently that was distributed in a decentralized way, so that there's no, or there will never be any kind of risk of, you know, selling a security or regulatory, you know, backlash in that kind of way. And so like, you look at all these other places that, you know, they're all out there and they have huge market caps comparative. You know, ADA, there was a token sale. There was like angel investors and people that had expectations. Solana had that. Ethereum had that. All of them had that. And so like that matters when you're actually talking about longevity. You know, I don't know if that's like the one thing that we should be latching onto, but that alone to me is extremely important. That's super, super, you know, way
to go south. If things go south regulatory wise, Tank, and if ever there's governments all over the world turning on crypto, you're going to want the Genos to exist.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to want those shit ecosystems, as people are trying to paint Juno as those dead
shit
zombie
what?
Chains or governance.
Those
yeah, you're going to want those places, because where else are you going to go, right? There's always the centralized, always there's going to be like points of not resistance, but points of weakness in any kind of business structure set up or
attack vectors.
Yeah, there's going to be attack vectors all over the place. Now, I'm not saying, like, obviously, Juno has a ton that has been hit so far. But that's, you know, to go into another part of it, where would you rather go to? A place that has been, like, bombed and you know, battle-tested and it took its lumps and it's, in a way, kind of proven itself throughout all the turns? Or are you going to go to a place that's still uncertain? That's a rhetorical question. I don't know. It's too early to call, but I will say, I'll just go to a place that's taking its lumps. You know, it doesn't have that regulatory risk that all these other big, super fast, smart contract chains have. You know, so I don't know. That's just me.
Bare minimum, you had your bets, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, again, that's to kind of go back to my first point. I'm not stupid over like, you know, weighted with Juno right now. I got in with what I got in. I took some profits on the way up, and now I have a bag of Juno that for my risk management, you know, in my portfolio, is fine if it goes to fucking zero. I'm fine with it, right? And that's what I would tell everybody else too. Like, if you want to hedge against all that things that I just said, I'm not telling you to buy, but like, maybe it would be smart. Well, it's been beat up and taken its lumps to buy a little bit of, if you like smart contracts, you actually believe in blockchain, you actually believe in, you know, the DAOs and governance and all this other stuff. If you actually believe in it, why wouldn't you? Are you just like LARPing or what? So I don't know. But again, to each their own. I'm, you know, I can't, all I can say is there's some really cool stuff happening for Juno. You know, there's the talks of the community owned debts, which part of me is in favor for. Part of me thinks that we need to make partnerships and position ourselves with some liquidity in more beneficial social and financial places, right? Like, not just because Patrick's here, but I would love for Juno to take a position with Jackal, you know, on Astro Vault. I absolutely would love, and I think that would make a lot of sense. That would get us exposure to both sides, you know, because, and a little, again, transparency, I'm sponsored by Jackal, but like, I'd say this anyway, they have a product, they have a demand for a product, they have a use case, and they, you know, it will fit in the market. It's been shown. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to plant our seeds, and we also need to grow dApps, like, right? Juno needs to find a developer. I don't know if a full-time developer for dApps is like what we need right now, but we need to nurture and develop more developers, bring them the up-and-coming
ones.
And we need to get dApps.
What about an aggressive grants programs for proven developers?
We could do that too. Yeah, there's multiple things that we could do. You know, again, you guys are all here. We've had, I always call them suitors because I feel like that's the best analogy of all of it. But like, you know, a lot of me just goes, you know, we don't have to go crazy, but we should incentivize the previous people that have shown that they've built in the past on us, are willing to come back and keep building. We should like try to nurture that and incentivize that to bring them back. We should also, there's a lot of things we should do. And anyway, like, so
I just want to state for the record that I have been staked for Juno ever since I found the chain when I entered the Cosmos, and I doubled my position at like 50 cents.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I've been staked Juno since we launched RNS on Juno, and yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good I think that's the only way I can put it, but anyway, so yeah, like regarding developer evangelism, right? So for you guys, if I was in like Juno's position, I wouldn't hire any full-time like dApp builders, and I don't think you should use any of your talent to build dApps at all. The thing that you guys, in my opinion, should really focus on is developer evangelism, right? And making it a good experience to build dApps on Juno. So like, who's there to support the developers that are building and making sure that those, like, you just have clean communication pipelines between the protocol developers and the app developers so that they can get all the help that they need? Because like, as a developer, what do you care about? You care about something stable. You care about things that aren't going to go away anytime soon. You care about, like, because you're building your tech stack and you're choosing the Juno tech stack because you believe that it's going to be a safe place for you to pour your heart out into your application. If people believe that it's not a safe place to pour their heart out into their application, then that's not a good place for you to build, right? And that's kind of like the thing you see on a lot of ecosystems, where builders leave different L1s for a number of different reasons, whether they don't get support, whether, and that comes in a number of different ways. Like you can help them bootstrap, like give them a grant so they can hire some additional developers or help. Just being available and being there for them, right? It's you guys are competing with Archway, you're competing with Neutron, beat it with Secret in a weird way. You're competing with Agoric, you're competing with Evmos, everyone that's like a generic smart contract L1, you're basically competing with. So the way that you, like the problem statement is, how do we entice more people to come and build on our chain versus their chains? Because like that's the fragmented market in Cosmos, right? It's you have all these different chains, they're all competing. And a lot of the blockchains in Cosmos are like generic smart contract L1s. So like 120% of the time that's being spent on Juno, the only thing that you guys should be doing, in my opinion, is finding more developers and curating those developers and holding on to them, making them really, really, really happy, because that's your lifeline. No developers, no apps, no users, no liquidity, no community, right? And that's kind of how I see it. If I was running, like, we're a little bit different, right? So Jackal, we don't want anyone to build on Jackal. Well, people can build on Jackal, and that's really cool in the sense that, like, anytime you build, like, a storage-specific app on Jackal and we build an outpost on another chain, that chain now has that app. So, like, it's kind of multi-chain in a weird way. But, like, do we want, like, an NFT marketplace to be built on Jackal or, like a perps protocol or a DEX? No. What we do is we look to bring our functionality cross-chain to other L1s so that builders can build there and then they get access to all the tooling that Jackal brings to the table for storage, right? So we're kind of like more B2B. And like our focus right now, so we have these outposts, right? And we want to bring them to places where there's a lot of builders. Essentially, because if we deploy an outpost, then all the builders now can build like web scale applications now that the entire tech stack that they need is actually on chain. They don't have to move their project to get decentralized storage to Filecoin or Arweave, or they don't have to make the choice to sacrifice decentralization by like using IPFS and a pinata type service with AWS and credit card, right? So like just having that in your tech stack without sacrifices, we think is really important. So our plan right now is we're going and we're finding places we can deploy outposts, people that see that their builders want this type of technology for them to build things that are in different verticals, whether that's AI, machine learning, whether that's a peer-to-peer file transfer, whether that's insurance protocols, whether that's social or music or anything like that. We want to bring that tooling to those communities. So we're going to deploy outposts there. And kind of the power rankings of where we deploy is dependent on how many people are building there. And can we get a grant for us for them to like take like half of the development costs, because like these things are fucking expensive. It costs us like 150k per outpost to just deploy in like the 3 months that it's going to take us to build it with our full development team, right? So that's kind of like that's what we're doing right now. And like Astroport, like liquidity planning, like open to the idea, but like at the end of the day, like we're not really focused on liquidity planning like right now in general. Like you could probably ask Eric and he can just spin up a pool, because the way that their DEX is built is they just have like a boatload of Jocko tokens managed by their DAO. So like, you have to ask me.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, I've talked to him. That's kind of where the idea came from. I was like, man, we just start up a damn pool over there. That's what I would do.
Like, that's kind of the thing, right? But like for Juno, at the end of the day, all that matters is like the only number that matters is how many unique developers and how many unique applications are you guys enticing to build, right? And that's like the end. If I was like Tank, you as the CEO of Juno, what would, like, if I were you guys, all I would be focusing on is how do we get more builders onto this platform, and how do we make sure there's no sand in the engine in getting them there, right? So like for like them to get a grant, for example, like how many steps and how many applications and how many different things that they do they have to go through for that to happen, right? And that's going to be the competitive advantage, because you're not the only place they're looking. So it's kind of like this weird thing. It's like, how do you be competitive against the other L1s, really is the question.
That's kind of been and I'm gonna speak off the cuff, I guess, a little bit unofficial, but like official at the same time. You know, when that conversation was going around about like a chairman and all this other stuff, that's where I was coming from. Like, it's cool that we have a charter, and I'm not against it. I like the charter, all this other stuff, but like, to be very fair and be very real in business, like I've said it a few times, I really strongly believe in three things. Like, make a successful business. You either have a golden apple that speaks for itself as a product, or, you know, our service. Speaking of service, you either have great customer service that can just outpace and outperform all the others. Like you're saying, support for devs and stuff like that, right? The quickness of that, the responsiveness, the availability of that, all that stuff. And or you have the ability to make decisions quickly that outpaces your competitors, or outmaneuvers your competitors in that same market. And that doesn't happen with a governance chain. Like, it just won't, by unfortunately, right? Like, those things that you're saying, unfortunately, take a lot of time for people that are developers or teams that are saying, you know, maybe considering coming to Juno. Like, how many roadblocks are there when they look at that stuff? And that's kind of what, where I was coming at when I was trying to say those things. And I'm not trying to say like, oh, scrub the charters, all this other stuff, but like, you're absolutely right. We don't have a lot of money, if we're being honest with ourselves. We need to, you know, if somebody was to ask me that question, Patrick, to be fair, like, hey, Tank, if, like, I'm the theoretical, right? If you're the chairman or the CEO of Juno, like, what would be your focus? Because a lot of people ask me that. I would do exactly like you said. I would be looking to nurture previous suitors that we had that did build in the past that could come back and redeploy, or maybe even, you know, expand on what they deployed in the past. How can we kind of like incentivize them and bring them back or lure them back in a little bit? And then also, how can we support and or bring up the new up and coming developers that are in our space, like by giving them good customer service or response times? Like, yeah, we have Zimmy and a few others. We have Purbo here, actually. I'm sorry, Purbo. I didn't see that. I was looking away. I'll bring him up here and he can kind of chime in. But we have people that could give that kind of support. But like you said, I agree. We all need to be on the same page, and it needs to be a strong push in that direction. Like, there can't be fragmented, like, conversations all over the place of what's most important and all this other stuff. Those are like, it's critical. We need to get developers. Period.
And, like, that's the thing. And what's the thing that's crazy to me? And like the, like, what are you guys willing to do? Right? Like, if I was like running an L1, like generic chain with like smart contracts, right? And we had like a developer inbound that's like, I want to build on your application. And like, I'm so focused on getting those guys locked in and starting to build and get them like through their product development and to MVP as quickly as possible. Because like, those are the metrics that really matter at the end of the day. Like,
it's what are we willing to do to really curate those developers? Like, for example,
yeah, I see
example,
that.
Like, sorry, for us, yesterday, for example, right? We have an inbound. We have people that are looking. It's an AI chain that's like looking to have like storage on chain. Like, I'm willing to fly to them tomorrow to close this deal. Like, I will fly and I will sit in their living room and make sure that it's properly onboarded, like, tomorrow, right? And it's, like, things like that where it's just, like, for example, like 2 days ago, Coney Daddy came to us and he really liked working with us. He says, I actually, like, want to work with you guys as the creative director. We closed that on the call.
He's such a funny fucking dude, and he's super talented.
Like for something like that, it's just like, hey, like, this is an extremely talented person. We are lacking in the area of marketing, and that's not our strong suit at Jocko Labs. This is an opportunity for us to have that, and we need it right now, and we're not letting this one get away. So, like, able to close that 24 hours full-time onboarded.
Yeah.
So, like it's, like, the decentralization is awesome, but, at what stage, you know? It's like, it's usually like businesses, they start small and like it's all about like development and building. And then as you start to grow, it becomes like politics and sales, you know?
Yeah, no, I trust you, me. I know that's where I was coming from when I said, you know, the things that I've said before. And I can only speak from my experience. And, you know, I'm a small business owner. I'm a small business owner. On multiple different things. I've said my story many times, and that's just my experience in the past is you have those three things and that's how you actually get a leg up. And then when you're fine, like you said earlier on, until you finally get that leg up and you're actually peeking above the fence, you know, not just barely with your nose, but like actually putting your head above the fence and your shoulders are starting to show and stuff like that, maybe you can start decentralizing and, you know, scoping out that, you know, those things and delegating processes and whatnot. But like, man, I will say, you know, I'm a realist. And I think that's why a lot of people voted me on my position with Juno is, you know, I look at Juno as a company, like as a for-profit business. And there's a lot of things that I just don't see it being able to capitalize unless everybody on the charter gets their ducks in a row and like really says, okay, this is what's important to us. This is the streamline. And I think we're working towards that. It's been rough. I'll be honest. It's kind of a race against time. But with all this being said, I do think there is progress that we're making because that's kind of what we're working towards. We're trying to get these things where it's like, all right, this is what's important to us. This is what we want to do so that, you know, when people who are interested want to reach out to us, it's simple. There's no more 50 hurdles to jump that are all on fire and stuff like that. Like they just go to one or two things, you know, and it gets triaged in a productive and efficient manner so that they can get the support they need or the answers that they need in a quick and a fashionable way. But with all that being said, it is a process, right? Because everybody has something and some concern or whatnot. So I don't know, man. It's
of course.
I sound like I'm talking fraud, but it's
not fraud. It's just like it's just how are we just going to get better, you know? And it's important like to have these conversations. If no one has it, then I'd be more scared.
Right? Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like what. Like developers don't care about too many things, right? Like they're pretty low maintenance human beings. They want good documentation. They want good support. And they just want people in their corner, right? Like for us, like when we were like building on Secret, we had a great time building on Secret while we were there, but there was like some things that made it really difficult. Obviously, like we left Secret not because we weren't getting like good docs or good support, even though like that was an issue over there. We left it because of like fees and technical ceilings for us, like for what we needed to build. But like just good documentation, good support, and just like awesome place to build, just good vibes, and just like having like a community right there for you out of the gate. Because that's the best part about building on Ethereum, right? Why do people build on Ethereum? Well, like all the hard parts of the startup is already fixed, right? You have a bunch of people that are like now your community, they're also investors. So they're incentivized for your thing to do good. And you bring value to the core chain, which is all these wonderful things. And that's cool. But then they have like a foundation that's pretty helpful. They have great support. They have all these things. And that's why people like building on Ethereum. Probably very similar for Solana. So
yeah, it's not because of gas prices. No, they just get the support. But you're right. They get all of that. And if they can get all of that, like you said, same with Solana, you know, that's where the developers are going to go.
And I 100% that's the thing, agree with right? You. And like the devs follow the market, right? So like, for example, that's my dog in the background, by the way.
I was just going to say, what the hell was that?
That's my dog. Her name's Coda. And like at 3 o'clock every day, she becomes a terrorist in the house, which is just crazy. But at the end of the day, like look at what you guys are comparing. You're not just competing in the Cosmos ecosystem. You're also competing with like Solana and like Ethereum and all these things for builders. And that's kind of like the big thing is like, when Jackal has via union, we'll be able to do like IBC stuff on Ethereum eventually. We're having that chat with them tomorrow. But for us to build outposts over there, like the grants there are just diabolical.
I feel like we just heard some alpha and Patrick just like tiptoed straight past.
Oh yeah, just like EVM compatible. Like,
yeah, I was like, what the fuck? And nobody else reacted. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, we can like, essentially we can bring... That's the one thing that Cosmos did really good, and that's why we're here, right? Is you get all the functionality of Jackal locally on any chain. So if we deploy an outpost there, you just have Jackal locally for everyone, and we just do all of the storage stuff on our chain as long as we can get arbitrary data passed to it. But yeah, we can be on like Optimism or Base or Arbitrum or Celestia or Dimension or... via Landslide, we can go to Avalanche. As anywhere that IBC is connected, we're going to be deploying an outpost is pretty much for us, as long as it's like a generic smart contract L1. But like that being said, the dope thing about building over there is like Optimism's retroactive funding thing is insane. Absolutely insane. The amount of money that like they're just throwing at developer evangelism is just like sickening. And like, so if you can't compete on that, it's like really just like community, good vibes, like just people in their corner, good documentation, and just like have availability. Like we have a rule internally, if you message us, we have 15 minutes to get back to you. Or like if you can't like do it right then and there, you have 15 minutes to get back to them and tell them when you're going to have the conversation with them. Like you need it.
Just respond.
It needs to be like that available, because these guys are like now just sitting around like waiting for you to answer them so that they can build their application, right? But just stuff like that. Like it's that's all they care about: good docs, good vibes, and just people in their corner. And they're really simple humans.
Poor Bora. I'm sorry. You've been here patiently waiting, and he's actually on the charter on the dev ops. Sorry, the dev. Side of things, do you agree with all that, Paul, or
not sure where to start. We are trying to...
That was a lot.
I'll just trying to update people of what we're working on in the department. Well, initially we were focused on like critical infrastructure, but I think we were trying to like carve out what is critical and what is not critical, because what's also included in that was like documentation. So I'm more interested in the non-critical stuff, I suppose, like canvassing outreach, research on builders on Juno, past builders, what people expect, what they want. Personally, I would love to write documentation. I can't really promise anything, but I think I'd be good at it. So I'm not like taking a salary or anything. And that's like our limitation is like, you talk about like plane rides, and then I'm working on less than part-time, like, and like less than minimum wage. So, people are going to expect more from that. And so it's kind of like work to rule and being, obviously let's just try to be like efficient and do good work. There's a lot to say. I don't entirely agree with Juno being a business. I think that's kind of like the wrong model. Like I still need to read the book. I like listening to Balaji. Like he hangs out with the Bitcoiners, I suppose, but like his idea of like network state of like yeah, essentially we're providing like security for assets and yeah, for people like not necessarily geographically connected and forming nations in other respects that were not possible before on blockchains. So I still, sorry, awesome. One more part. Yeah, awesome. I need to read the book. It's like I'm a technical person and there's no audiobook, so it's hard for me, but I'll get that done.
Well, that's kind of the thing, right? Is if you guys lean really heavily into just like the whole networks, like, cause that's the other thing that's kind of dumb about, like, I'm working on like a heavy infra project, so like I don't really lean into narratives very much. If we're lucky, like they just like come to us like DPIN all of a sudden, like that's like a new narrative apparently. And we were just like, oh, that's what you call it.
Fell into that one.
I guess that's what it's called now. But that's kind of an interesting thing where like having it as a network state and like going, just doubling down on that. That's like, that's pretty interesting as well. And like builders might be interested in that, which is interesting, but it's, but then like it gets into, okay, like, running an organization, whether it's a business or a network state or a nonprofit or anything, where you're limited by budget, and just it doesn't make things easier, right? It just makes things more complicated as well, and it's more difficult.
You need to be profitable. You need to be making money to keep it going.
How many people are like quote unquote like part time on staff at Juno right now?
Oh God, there's we just went through the budget things. You think I would know this off the top of my head, but to be honest with you, sometimes I kind of blank out purposely.
Between 10 and 15 people. Some people are they have like vesting and other compensation, so they're not part time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You guys are bigger than us.
I mean, but we also each one of us takes not each one of us, but the ones that are on the charter or whatever got voted on. Like, not joking. Like, we do this literally out of interest and like just pure love, if you want to call it that, because we get paid. Porbo's not joking. Like, what is it, Porbo? Like 750 Juno every month or whatever it is?
Yeah.
It's nothing.
It's like we should have started over.
Bro, he's gonna be a multimillionaire in 2 years.
Well, it's possible too. It's attempted to do a good job.
Just don't discount the bull market. You never know. Things get fucking crazy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I do it. I say all this stuff before, and for bro, I want to say, like, you know, I sometimes like that narrative too. I speak from my angle and what I perceive things and stuff like that. But I totally appreciate it and can definitely lean into that as well. When it comes to the Juno network,
it's a hard mental state to really explain. It's like, and I have hard times like explain like macro to people. It's so complicated. I don't think people like completely grasp macro, like one person, obviously, because it's there's a whole economy of people. But like if you just think of like dollars, it's like, why do people work 40 hours a week for dollars? And it's something was bootstrapped there in like a network of security, of like common interest, of like, we exchange this for that, but like there's some bootstrapping phase that has to occur, and generally those things happen in vacuums. It's like when there's a power vacuum.
Yeah, well, usually that's exactly right. Like when you look at like early stages of anything, like for example, like I almost went bankrupt when I started Juggle. Like no bullshit. Like I bet the house, like pretty much everything. I didn't have a house. I was living in a shitty apartment, but like quit my job, like whole nine yards. And like when you don't have that, there's no one that has like that level of ownership, which makes things a little bit complicated to feel as well. Right. Like there's like usually in
in business, right? And obviously it's not a business, but like comparing it to like the early days, it's a startup, right? Startup means growth at the end of the day. So you have a startup, it's a network state, let's say that. But when you are in that situation, there's no, like, we know who's taking the risk, right? So the person who takes the risk gets all the reward at the end of the day. And who is going to take the risk, right? And like the work to rule stuff, like, yeah, but the thing, the reason why everyone's working to rule is because if you look at the incentives, everyone's like, no one's getting outsized returns based on what they put in. So it's like kind of like this, it's this like kind of cycle of, well, it's not doing well because we can't hire people, but we're not hiring people because we're not doing well. You know, it's like this, this never ending cycle of like, who's going to kind of just take the majority of the risk and just go all in. And that's my take on it, at least.
Yep. And it's fair. It's fair. It's something that as a charter and many others that are off the charter as well, admittedly, have been struggling with to kind of figure out, like, and you know, what is it going to be that they take a risk on is another question, right? Like, you know, we, I think, still ask ourselves, you know, what is, you know, that's the question that, like, you know, what defines us? And I'll be honest with you, I could ask probably every member on the charter and also outside, and I probably get different variations from everybody of what that is, what it looks like to them. Like you just saw, Poro and me just have differences right there. But yeah, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, Chris set me up. I didn't mean to make this a Juno conversation. God knows I try not to have them when I don't need them. Fucking Chris set me up. But to answer your question, Chris, I guess the bullish thing, the good thing I can tell you about Juno is there is people literally working on behalf of the Juno Network, like honestly, out of passion and pure fucking love, because it ain't financial gain. I can tell you that right now. So like if there's, I don't know, maybe that's the wrong way to look at it, because some people do work really hard for, you know, good compensation. But, you know, I think when people are working towards the betterment of something purely out of the sole passion of it, like there's also something to be said for that too. But I don't know. It's too early to call. Like I said before, maybe we're just doing this and it goes to zero. I don't fucking know. But we're trying our best. We're definitely trying our best. I still think that taking some positions and making a pool and buying some Jackal would be great.
I don't know. Let's go to them. Eric, they have their own treasury of Jackal because they just get all the staking rewards with their like X Jackal thing, the way he set up the incentives, which is it's pretty wise by them. It's pretty lucrative at the end of the day, the way they set up that dex.
Yeah, they've got it buttoned up. I definitely can have that conversation with them, but it's gotta be a collective decision. Mm-hmm. Bruce, did you have something? Did you have something you wanted to say?
Oh, I had something. I forgot it, man. Anyway, I'm going to go to bed, man. Nice talking with y'all. Oh, yeah. Why can't you just fork Juno and leave out like the top two validators? And then just have fun.
What was that? Wait, say that again.
Like fork the chain. Fork everything, right? Except the top two validators. Something like that.
Yeah, Poro. I saw you like immediately take your mic off mute.
I don't think it's the worst idea. Like I'm not for like taking people's funds, but it's more like, would they even notice? Like
exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Oh goddamn, that's a good response. Or anyway, you could.
That was a really good one.
Or maybe make like a requirement that they could get forked if they like increase their self-delegated tokens to half of their current stake tokens, or 25% or something like that.
Yeah, there's definitely conversations that's being had and probably will be had going forward about that stuff. I don't know. I will say as well, I'm not totally, I'm open to all conversations, to be very honest with you. As crazy as some people might think that sounds, I really am. Yeah, we've got to work on the ops department is working on a aggressive delegation program structure set up. And if you guys are in the Juno Discord, you've probably seen a bunch of that talk. But it is what it is, man. Bumpy roads, bumpy roads. Hey, we've been going for a little while. I actually do got to get ready to go choke some. I actually got to teach some little kids how to choke each other out, and then go teach adults how to choke each other out. But man, I really like having these conversations with you guys, and I really do appreciate you guys coming up here. Signal, Jay Smiles, I see you guys all down there. What's up, Jacob? I see you down there as well. Patrick, always enjoy the conversations. Chris, Bruce, Poro, I really appreciate you guys, man. But I am going to shut this down. It's getting kind of late in the afternoon for me. I got to get ready.
Chill, good.
See you, Tony.
Later, guys.
Later.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few Z's. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Spaces.